good. That's good. Good. So, as things often go, God created this series we're in now. I hope he creates everyone, but this didn't have a lot of intention on Dennis's or my part. He 2 weeks ago, started a theme, Stop Playing Church. And so last week he titled his message something like that. And this week I just decided to continue with it, Stop Playing Church, A Journey to Become Real. So we've been talking about that concept, and I think all of us would agree that's exactly what God wants for us. And I think that we have, in WinWorks history, and I don't know all of it because I wasn't here at the beginning, but I hear stories, and from the time I stepped in, I know that this church has been on a journey to become real. But as you get more revelation, you see how you were not being real in your past up to this point in time, right? And as we go forward with God, we're going to look back at this time and see how we have not been being real. So it's a continuous journey. And I just thought today that I would talk to you about an auction every day, since this theme is well on my mind. And so do I click the next one? When we go to the next one, it starts? Good. All right. So some of you were here for the auction. If you were here for the auction, raise your hand. That was Saturday night. Good. Wonderful. And Frank and Karen, I'm sorry to single you out, but I was looking for your phone number, didn't have it, because I wanted to thank you for coming to the auction personally, because you were at my table, and I was a terrible host because I wasn't there at that table, but maybe 5 minutes. And not all at one time. So thank you for coming. And every one of you that came, thank you for coming. Those of you that had a part to play in it and did not come to the auction, raise your hand. I think there's a bunch of you that did. Well, there's more of you that had a part to play in it and did not come. And actually, that's all of you, because if you even prayed for this, you had a part to play, didn't you? All right. So I can't remember whether I volunteered or I was designated to run point on that auction, but I tell you, you know, that's an illusion. That's really not true. You don't run point. Anybody who is designated to run point or volunteers to run point quickly gets somebody there with them and puts them up in front and follows them. I could name literally tens of people, maybe over 100 people, who had a major role in bringing that event off. And, you know, honestly, I just thought this through. Over 100 people, well over 100 people, actually put their hands on this event, and probably hundreds. When I start thinking of all the people that we went out and procured things from, they put their hands on this event. When I think of all of the people that prayed, they put their hands on this event. When I think of all of the people that were preparing food, setting up, doing anything, there were hundreds of people. But there is one person I am going to recognize. And Debbie, I'd like you to come up right now. So she's going to be, yeah. Now give it up. Really? Come on. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So this was the person that ran point. And she did a marvelous job and was working right up to 6:30 when the event took place, and then worked throughout it, I think, and probably prayed throughout it and held it together. I cannot tell you how much she did. It was amazing. And there were many others that worked furiously on the day of the event as well, and put in all kinds of effort. This was truly a team event. But when I got on the phone to call and give Debbie a message about how thanking her and how much her involvement meant to me and all of us, and the good it's going to do as it goes on, because the results of this auction are going to go on and on and on into eternity. But they're going to touch lives, and it's going to be making a difference in ways that we won't even see. And as I started to give her that thanks on my cell phone, I just started choking up and crying. And I got through the message. And then I hung up. And a little bit later, a message came back, and she said, "I lost your message, but I know you called." I said, "I'm not going to cry for you again." Debbie, thank you. Personally, in front of the people that are here, in front of God and all the witnesses, you were a gem. I just don't have words.
I'm ready for next year.
All right, good, good. So, when we experience an event like that, when we experience his story, history is his story, we just don't often see it that way. History is his story. We don't often see it that way, but now and then we have a chance to make history and be in it, and we do understand it's his story. And when that happens, so meaningfully, there are often things in the event that serve as examples of how to sustain our journey, both collectively and individually. But there is also a tendency to experience an energy drain after such a vivid manifestation of God's activity. We see them in the Scripture. We see Elijah calling down fire from heaven. That must have been a pretty historical event with his story, and that must have been a pretty amazing thing to be involved in. And then after it, he was drained of energy, and he found himself running away from a woman, of all things. But, I mean, if there's somebody to run from, it is a woman. I've learned that. All right. And this energy drain can result in our missing what God wants us to build on. In a very real sense, God wants us to live out an auction every day. How can we take that away from our experience of April 14th, as much as I want it to be August 14th? Well, this was born out of necessity, I will tell you that. You know, we're no heroes. The reason we had an auction is it was sink or do something. Drown or do something. It was born out of necessity. We gathered around as a leadership team, and we finally said, it's not whether or not we're going to choose to do an auction or not. We've got no choice. If we want to continue to survive, we're going to do an auction. Unless somebody else has got some idea of how we can create some money to help us continue to go on. And listen, that is very much the way following God looks. Whether you're an individual following God, whether you are collectively a local church trying to find God, whatever situation you find yourself in, when we follow God's leading, some of our experience will be born out of necessity. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 4, adapted, could read like this. He will lead us from time to time to lie down in green pastures. But while we're on the move, it may be through the valley of the shadow of death from time to time. I mean, that's where we were at, in the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, for our daycare, nothing can kill God's church. But was our daycare going to continue to survive? And would we, our church, continue to be in this building? That was what was in question. Now, we decided to have an auction, and we set some goals. And we set a goal of, do you remember what I said the goal was? We're going to, I remember being right here saying it like this. We are going to raise, by God's grace, do you remember the number? 20, there, somebody listens, $20,000. We didn't do it. We raised almost $12,000. And that vignette didn't look like a failure to me, did it to you? And that, too, is the way God leads. It is the way God leads. We'd like it to be set our goal, reach nirvana, you know. No. It's a continuous journey, isn't it? Never ends. So, ultimately, we are under God's vision. Now, to really take the lessons from this auction, I need to back up for you just a moment and say this. This was Dennis's vision, to have a church building and operate a daycare out of it. And we embrace that. We, meaning many of us in the church, myself especially. I said, this is a wonderful idea. Let's do this. We have we have not the richest congregation in the world monetarily. I think it's the richest in character and spirit I've ever been in. Without reservation, I can tell you that. I have never been in a church with the kind of spirit and the kind of character and the kind of people in it that reflect who God is, because God is like this. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any less. And you people live that out, not perfectly, but better than any church I have ever been in. Now, when Dennis cast that vision, I said, wonderful, our rich and poor congregation could find a place with that kind of idea. God will bless that surely. And then you know how it unfolded. There was just a way that God brought this into our wheelhouse, gave us a choice to move forward on this vision of Dennis's. Okay? But ultimately, we are under God's vision. Because God is in our dreams and visions to invite us into His dream and vision. Amen? I want you to camp on that for a moment. Sometimes we forget this. Very often we forget this. It's easy for us to forget this because when we have our individual dreams, and you all have them, you're sitting right here, right now, today, with individual dreams, things that you wish for your future, things to make your future better. You have dreams individually, and collectively we have dreams. And when we passionately embrace them, it's easy to forget that we are part of something bigger. We think of our dream as the biggest thing in our experience. In fact, maybe it's even designed that way. Maybe we are created in such a way that we are designed to dream so that we can have passion for what we move forward in life pursuing, and that we can get our blinders on, be so single-minded and single-focused that we can give ourselves to our dreams and our vision and create like God creates. Didn't He say we are made in His image? He is a creator, so we are creators. Maybe we're designed that way. That's a different way for you to think about the Scripture. Maybe we're designed to forget we're part of something bigger now and then so that we can create something bigger. But of a necessity, we will be reminded as we pursue our dreams, sometimes forcefully. Sometimes we can just have a spirit of being aware and slowing down and doing what Troy said today, and take an inventory on a regular basis and saying, God, I know I'm I'm hot after my dream, but connect it to your dream. Maybe we can pursue things that way, with a little more humility. But maybe not, and when we're not doing that, God has a way of letting us know there is a bigger vision. And I'm in your dreams, but I'm in your dreams so that you can be in my bigger dream. Our vision and God's vision. Our vision was to create a first-class daycare. Our vision was to create a first-class daycare and attract high-class people with a lot of money. Because with our plan that I revealed to you, it makes sense, doesn't it? Let's attract some people that have some means so that we can provide daycare for them in a first-class way, and let's create this revenue to be in this place. And let's create church security. Because our efforts will be to create a revenue stream that will allow us to enjoy this place and finally take a deep breath and relax. And by the way, if it gets beyond the break-even point where we're, you know, treading water and more revenue comes in, then we'll use it to minister. This was our idea. That's a grand idea, isn't it? And with that money to minister, we'll persuade others to join us. So here's what God... Now, that's what we were pursuing. That's what we were pursuing. We were all in. We jumped in. I mean, we you got to be all in if you sign a lease that requires monthly obligations running to the tune of $12,000 when it's all said and done. I mean, the rent itself is not that high yet, but all the other costs, $12,000 a month. We jumped in, all in, pursuing that vision. But here's what God revealed to us. He revealed that actually you had this dream and this vision, Dennis, and other people, as you spoke it, followed you. And I followed enthusiastically, and I am proud to say that I follow Dennis's leadership. And you should be proud to say it too. Not because he's a perfect man, because I don't know one. But I know his heart, and I know his intention, and I know what he wants to do. And I listen to that, and I say, I can follow that man. And so, what did God reveal to us? First-class daycare. Good idea. Make it the best daycare you can. By the way, put a vision in there to make a priority out of love and my kind of love. That's a first-class daycare. Okay, we got that straight. Then he said, but you're going to attract classless people because I don't see class. To target people with money is too shallow and too narrow and probably too much about money and not enough about me. So you throw this daycare wide open to everybody who would value my values of love. You attract classless people because people that follow God because their core value is the love of God can't be class-oriented people. You understand that? You can't be. And create security for others. That's the way you create security for yourself. Not by looking at your needs and envisioning a day when you'll be able to relax. No. Put your vision on creating security for others. Do you know that when these little kids come to daycare with their mothers, I just heard one of our providers, one of our daycare, I don't even want to call them workers, lovers, one of our daycare lovers. She told a story of one of her children. The mother has to stand around until the kid starts crying and then can't leave until the kid is crying for her. You know why? You know why? Because that mother's heart doesn't want to leave that child there, but it's also true that the mother's heart is wrapped up in needing the love of the kid, which is not healthy. Right? So we got a healthy thing and an unhealthy thing going on, much like you and I, right? But when that mother or that daycare lover puts her hand on that shoulder of that mom and says, "It's okay, I love your baby," you can leave. We're creating security for her. And we're creating security for those children. And we're going to create security for those families in ways that I'm just dreaming about, because God's putting those dreams in my heart and He's putting them in your hearts. So create security for others. And then minister for ministry's sake, because it's the right thing to do, not because you'll get a result. Minister. Serve, give, because that is the heart of God, is it not? It is. I've got to tell you that I have never been so stretched in all my life, but I have never been experiencing the joy that I am experiencing at this point in my life while being stretched at the same time. Maybe that's the design. It is not a burden for me to be involved, and hopefully not a burden for you to be involved in what this church is involved in. It's a joy to be doing what God is leading you to do and creating security for others. And invite others to participate. The harvest is right. You don't persuade others. Whenever we get into that vein, whenever you see us getting into that vein, when we're trying to persuade others, just tap us on the shoulder or hit us a little bit hard in the shoulder, not in the face, but wake us up and let us know, listen, the results are God's business. You don't need to persuade anybody. All you need to do is throw out the invitation. And invitations were thrown out by the hundreds for this event. We invited people to participate, and it was wonderful. So, wouldn't it be better for God to simply tell us His dream directly instead of working indirectly through our dreams to fulfill His, you might ask? He already has. Here's His dream. It's you. It starts with each one of you. You are in His dream. You are in His vision. You matter to Him like nobody else. I say that again. You matter to Him like there's nobody else. Greg, you sing that song that captures that. Can you bring the words back with the flower that, you know, tramples and what can... Now you're going through the words. When you get it, raise your hand, because there's a sense in which there's a line in this that you sing, because I don't remember it obviously, but it has impacted me, and I know it's in there, and so it says that Jesus knows your name. Good. He knows you individually. He knows you like there's no other. He loves you like there's no other. The thing is, He can love each one of us that way, and He loves each one of us that way. So you are His dream. But you are part of a local church. And that local church, oh, by the way, and you are part of His dream, and His dream is a kingdom filled of yous. You are part of His kingdom. And then we're a part of a local church, and that local church is part of a bigger church called the Body of Christ. It's moving throughout the world, and our local church is moving in our community. And we are committed to doing practical, loving things in this community that build security into people's lives. Amen? That love people unconditionally. We are committed to doing that. So we're a local church building the kingdom of God, not inviting people to come stand at our door. We'll tell you what we believe, and if you agree, enter. No, you laugh, but that's what a lot of churches do. A lot of churches draw the boundary. You come, stand at the edge. Now, you can enter the building physically, but you stand at the edge until you agree to think like we think and believe what we believe, and then we may let you in. That is not what we do. We are a local church that goes out into our community and says, you are in the heart of God, you are loved by God, and we don't necessarily have to say those words, but by going out into our community, that's in effect what we are doing. Is it not? Isn't that what God wants us to do? Build His kingdom out in our community? With humanity. Because humanity makes up the kingdom of God. And so the vision and dream for God, He's made it clear. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And in this prayer, I want you to not miss this. In this prayer, there is something going on that I think often we recite this prayer without thinking about it. And it's this. The kingdom of God is parallel to the will of God. It is. It shouldn't surprise us, because in any kingdom, the will of the king is done. That's why Jesus taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, not a political structure. Thy will be done. A kingdom where the king's will is done in a unique kingdom where it's not done out of force. There is no kingdom set up on those values anywhere in this world except God's kingdom. So, wherever the will of God is being done, the kingdom of God, what? Is alive and well. Do you see why the kingdom of God is necessarily bigger than any local church, the body of Christ? It is all-encompassing. It is the fulfillment, James, of that text you read, Psalm 108. Fill the earth, and I love the way he read it, fill the earth with his love. Fill it. So, we had the auction because we had to. Because God knows that sometimes we don't move forward until it's more appealing than going back or standing still. I'm sorry, but I wish I could say I have these wonderful motives all the time, and I never waver and I never am shaken. I'm just true to my course. I follow God wherever He leads me, and I do it enthusiastically, and I do it with all my might all the time. Sorry, I'm just not like that. Sometimes it has to, because I've followed God, I come up to the place where, uh-oh, now what? God's saying here, but I don't feel like this. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like moving forward. Look where my dreams got me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there when you followed your dreams and you followed your dreams? You passionately moved to it in the direction of that, and then you said, uh-oh, I'm out here on a limb. Have you ever done that? I'm out here on the edge. Have you ever done that? If you've done that, you know what I'm talking about right now. If you ever been, I'm out on the edge, and this is scary, and you want to step back. You want to relieve this tension of going forward. You want to relieve the tension that occurs. You know when two trapeze artists are swinging, boom, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I can imagine when you start learning to trapeze. Okay? Okay? I can imagine it. And the first time they probably do this. They send a bar. And then you're swinging. You're swinging in the air. They send a bar. And then the bar comes to where you are and they say, grab it. And I can rest assured, you cling to the bar. You swing back, the bar swings back. They catch the bar and say, no, it doesn't quite work that way. The bar's not going to grab you. That first time you let go of that bar, I don't care if there's a net underneath you. The first time you let go of that bar, it's scary. And you know what? Every time we follow God, we come up to these points where God is saying, let go of that bar and go with me. Grab that bar coming. Take the next step. Well, that's where we're at. Listen, we don't with any kind of pride look back at April 14th and say, look what we did. We should look back at April 14th and said, look where God brought us, where we had no choice. Isn't it safe? Isn't it comforting to know that you are in somebody else's larger vision that has the love and the courage, and it does take courage, to lead you out to this place and call you further? Isn't it wonderful to know we're safe in the vision of God with all of our dreams, whatever they might be? This is when, listen, when we come to this place and we go forward, when we went forward, this is how it was. This is when we cease to be carrying the dream and the dream starts carrying us. This is often the transition point when our dreams and our visions have been swallowed up in God's dream. That's what we experienced April 14th. That's why I drove away from here Saturday night and I could do nothing but weep. God, you are great. God, you are great. You pulled us together. You did a great thing through us. People are going to be blessed. God, you are great. Because we are swallowed up in the victory of your vision. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you want to continue to have experiences like that? Yes, you do. So follow God. We'll keep following God. Big lesson, know the team you're on. You're on Team Kingdom of God. You know, you are on Team Kingdom of God. And when I say know the team you're on, that is huge. That is huge. Let me go back there again. You're on Team Kingdom of God. Yeah, there's some players in here. You're a player. Your local church is a player. The body of Christ is a player. All humanity are players. But we're on Team Kingdom of God. You got that? We're on Team Kingdom of God. And this is beautiful because when you hear Jesus talk about the kingdom of God, he says, it's like a harvest. He looked out on crowds of people and he said, the harvest is ripe. The religious people in his day looked out at crowds of people and said, ugh, yeah, there's a lot of untouchables out here. Jesus looked out in the same crowd and said, the harvest is ripe. The kingdom of God is like a huge harvest. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows up to be huge and creates security for all kinds. The kingdom of God is like yeast in dough. It works its way through without our even seeing it work, but seeing the results. The kingdom of God is like a big net. You drop down in the water, you pull up, and you got all kinds of fish. You just drop it down, pull it up, and they're there. No bait and switch. You notice that. With Jesus, he was catching things live. Know that. You're on that team. And there is nothing that can defeat that team. It's a winner. It's a winner. Team Kingdom of God. Nothing can contain it. It is huge. Nothing can restrain it by force. It can only be restrained by choice. By individual's choice. Every time in history, it has tried to be restrained by force, it grows more dynamically. Do you understand that? You can't kill it. You can't stop it. You can only join it or not. That's the team you play on. Its power is love. Make no mistake about it. Its power is love. And it appeals to the work it does on the inside of human hearts. That's where the kingdom of God operates. He's in those human beings, every single one. He's speaking. And that's where the work is done. It appeals to what he's doing on the inside. It may have external visible evidence like the activity we did, but it was working inside people as well. Nothing done in the spirit of the kingdom of God is ever lost. What does he say in Isaiah? My word, what is his word? Love. He is the word, and he is love. What is his word? His word is love. And when we make it anything more, we taint it. But nothing is done in the spirit of the kingdom is ever lost, because Isaiah says, my word will not return unto me what? Void. It goes out, and it gets the job done. We don't know how it gets the job done always, and that's our problem. We try to figure out how it should look. We try to figure out what these results should be. But that's his. Just understand it's working. Lessons from an auction. So we put on an auction. A lot of behind-the-scenes events. And there were doubters. I'm telling you, even on the leadership team, when I said, and we said, Dennis and I both said, we've got no choice, we've got to do an auction. I will tell you, there were people that said, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if we'll be successful. I don't know if I have the energy for this. And Dennis and I looked at him and said, we've got no choice. We're going to have an auction. Okay, you do it. Right. We do it. Doesn't quite work that way, but okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. It was a worthwhile cause. I mean, never forget that. When you are, when the money that you are raising is going to serve families, and you have influence over the kind of service that's provided, and you hold up before those service providers, those daycare lovers, that is what you are. You are a lover of these children. You are a lover of their parents. And you are here for that reason. And when we continue to love them in any of the practical ways we can do, that's a worthwhile cause. Amen? That's a worthwhile cause. You may not have direct relationship with that daycare. That's okay. But don't ever doubt its cause. Its cause is good. And don't ever doubt how grand and big God's vision is and how his vision will lead us to do things with not just children, but adults as well and families as well. But then we partnershiped with Safe Place, and 10% of our funds are going to go to Safe Place. How can you? And now listen, that's our community of which we're a part. That's where human beings are being served. Human beings who are being beaten on a regular basis. Human beings who are being emotionally abused on a regular basis. Human beings who are being all twisted up in their mind about where is God? Where is God when I live with this kind of violence? And we're putting money in a little bit. We're putting money in to help that cause, to help people eliminate that violence, to help people give safe refuge to people who experience that. Can't you say, with me, I am so glad we gave 10% of what we took in to help with that because God is in that activity. That's part of His kingdom. And it was a team effort, and I already told you about that. All of you were a part of it. It was a team effort. Lessons from an auction. It's a team effort. You're not in it alone. And it extended beyond us. It went out into our community, and it was fun. I'm telling you, if you were here, it was fun. We had Greg and Dennis up on the stage cracking us up, being absolute crazy, and we were having fun as people were giving us their money. Giving us their money. And they had fun. The things I heard from table captains, people who didn't know anything about this place, they came into this place, they gave money, they said, I'm coming next year. This was a blast. Your group of people are nuts. We love it. It was fun. And then we had people in the audience bidding, doing wild things. More on that later. The means and the ends were one. The means and the ends were one. Not separated. It was all love. Nobody forced. Everybody invited. Participate if you want. No big deal if you don't. Listen, the means and the ends are one means this. We take the risk to put out there what may not be recognized for its merit. You see, that's how following our vision turned into following God's vision and put us in a place where we needed to go out there, put out there in our community what may not have been recognized for its value. How many of you asked somebody to participate, invited somebody to participate, and they said, no, thank you. Raise your hand. I'm raising mine. How many of you? Well, Betty, you're raising your hand. Gary, you're raising your hand. Ann, you're raising your hand. Larry. Okay, Melissa. We do. Because we do that? Because God does that. He does it with you and me. On a daily basis, He puts out there His love for you and me on a daily, regular basis. And sometimes we don't recognize it for its merit. And He calls us to do the same thing. Because this is who He is and this is what the kingdom is like. An auction every day. So you see, when people came in here, they did bidding. They saw things they liked that we had procured, and they bid for it. And they, when the crazy dudes like Greg and Dennis would talk about their stuff, I mean, Jerry, I'm sorry, they brought out those ugly-looking chairs and pretended they were yours. That was... We had these chairs right here, over here, by the way. Treat them nice because they're mine right now. But they're going to my... son and daughter-in-law, as soon as they get a house, because they're trying to get a house, it's a housewarming gift. So we had that up on the list next, and these guys, they come out and they grab these ugly orange chairs and they say, we've got these chairs. Terrible. Terrible. But people saw what they liked. They saw what they liked and they started bidding on it. Now that was a bit interesting, because I saw what I liked. I round of golf for four. That's got me written all over it. I'm sitting over here. I had to sit down because I was the deliverer. I had to sit down. I delivered all the things they auctioned. I sat down. And the bidding started. Boom, I'm up. somebody bid over there. Then I bid again. Somebody bid over there. I looked. It's my wife. I said, you don't get this. We're a team. Don't bid against me. She made that a very expensive round of golf. Oh. She did. She did. An auction every day is going on in your life. Don't you realize it? Your life. Your life. God sees you. I value this person. I'm bidding. Somebody else bids. Something else bids in your life. Something else bids. I don't know what it is. Something else bids you. And God bids again. And something else bids for your heart. And God bids again. And something else bids for your heart. And God bids again. And there is no limit to the bidding of God. Is there? And he says, be like me. Go out and bid for the hearts of people. Have an auction every day. By all means, bid for your own heart with me. And bid for the hearts of people out in your community for me. Let's have an auction every day. Let's stand and pray. Dear God, we do thank you. You are amazing. And you did such wonderful things through us. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for leading us in the way you have led us. Thank you for the courage to lead us out on the edge where we can't step back because there is no safe place to go back to. And then we go forward with you. Thank you for holding us in your dream and vision. You have a future, a glorious future for Windworks. May we remember that always. May we take joy in being on Team Kingdom of God. And may we go out bidding for you and building into the Kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Still you can. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Always patiently, you're patient.